The Around the League podcast is about that action, boss.
Welcome to another edition of Around the League podcast. My name is Michael Robinson, and I'm joined by a room filled of heroes.
Wait a second. That's my line. That is Michael Robinson of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
And Mark Sessler is with me right now. We have a special edition of the podcast. We got Greg Rosenthal, Chris Wessling behind the glass. We got Brandon Mebane and Red Bryant in studio with the real Rob. Wow, what a combination.
I think he might have topped you. He put you on your heels. That was...
Oh, and I'm well
did, did I have enough energy?
I'm trying
to get my energy.
You brought it.
You know what I mean?
I often, when we do the podcast, I say to the guys, we got to get the energy up, not needed.
Yeah, man. But you know, man, as long as the air conditioner's pumped up, man, you know, as soon as I walked in, it was a little warm. Right. We played football. You know what I'm saying, man? We played football, man. We sweat. And I see Big Red over there. Like, you know, he already got a couple towels. He need a couple towels.
I'm going through it right now.
We can't promise about the conditions. I'm sorry.
You guys are real men, but because before you guys came up to the studio, we dropped by the dressing room to run by the show, and then we were talking to Michael, and then the other guys rolled in, and it was just so much testosterone. We had to get out.
You had to get out of there, man. These are my boys. I ain't seen them since we won the Super Bowl, man.
You did win the Super Bowl.
Since the parade.
Hey, Red, man, you're a Super Bowl champ. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
man,
it ain't really hit you yet, man.
Nah, it ain't really hit me yet.
I tell you what, though, it ain't. It's surreal, but winning the Super Bowl, I really didn't know it was gonna mean as much to other people as it means to me.
Yeah,
and you really can see that, you know, when you're around in the city. I was able to take my wife. It's been a while since I've been able to take her to dinner.
Yeah.
I took her to the Met. You know, Met is one nicest restaurant in Seattle.
That's the Metropolitan Grill, in case y'all didn't know.
Some
free advertisement right there. The Red Bryant.
Man, the hospitality was unbelievable. When I tell you, it felt like every employee that works for the Met made it their business to stop by and just let us know the pride that they had. And the food was unbelievable. We was getting lobster tails.
Wow.
Life's
that's how a champion eat right there, baby.
I can't bring your doggy bag back.
I said, I can get used to this.
Hey, babe, look.
Hey, talk about how's the Super Bowl changed your life, man?
Oh, man. Pretty much everywhere we go now, everywhere I go, you know, people, you know, notice you and want an autograph and picture, man. It's exciting, man, to see how on fire the city is, man. I don't think it calmed down yet, man.
It hasn't, man.
You see flags, man, on windows, people painting their homes 12, painting
yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
Everything, man. It's unreal.
Pete Carroll said, and I was lucky enough, we were down in the locker room after you guys won, and then you watched the parade afterwards. And Carroll says it all the time. He says, it's a real thing. The 12th man is a real thing.
So this is not a media exaggeration.
Like, the city is actually on fire for the Seahawks.
I think they said it was like 1.2 million people showed up for that parade. I couldn't believe it. We couldn't even walk through the streets, man. It was unbelievable, man. I mean, and then the defense had such a dominant performance, man.
Can you talk about that?
You know, I play on offense, special teams, You know, they don't talk about us much, but the defense, man, y'all boys was balling, man. What happened? How'd you do Peyton Manning like that?
Go ahead, Red.
Come on, man. Tell me some secrets, man.
I'm going to tell you a secret. When your offense plays like our offense played and our special teams play like our special team play, it makes a performance like that happen. I mean, it really did. It took every side of the ball, every guy on that team understood that whatever it was he was going to bring was going to be needed for us to have that type of victory. So it just, to me, it was a proud moment because it really showed, we got to show the world on the biggest platform that you possibly can have what we meant to each other.
Right.
Because we knew going out there, Peyton Manning, I can't say it enough how much respect I have for him as a player, what he's been able to accomplish during his career, coming back from that neck injury, fighting. I mean, he's a dog. He's one of the best in our generation. So it was going to take that type of effort. And for us to answer the bell and the amount of that we answered it, it just that meant more to me than anything else because it was a total team effort, and that's why we was able to win in the style we was able to win.
I'm happy, by the way.
You answered that question good.
Yeah, that was really good. That was awesome, man.
There was no ums or pauses. Someone's reading off a sheet.
I don't want to follow up on that one, bro. Next question.
It is cool, though. Yeah. I do have to say, because just like Red just said, everyone is giving Manning the respect he deserves. I was a little worried that after this game, after you guys blew him out, it was going to turn into this anti-Peyton Manning, they choke. But it seems like you guys are getting the credit for just delivering this an outrageous performance on the biggest stage, right?
I mean, you have to. And for me, I don't know if you guys remember that Friday before our last practice before the Super Bowl. After practice, I was yelling through the facility, man, what y'all looking so sad for, man? We finna blow these boys out.
I remember that.
You know what I mean? And all you had to do was look at the film. Yeah. People, I get the question all the time, you know, when did you know that you guys, when did you feel like you guys were going to win? You know, Mike B said yesterday, he said, man, what about 2 minutes left in the game? Whatever. Two minutes left in the game, they was losing by 40 points.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I knew that we were going to beat them as soon as I saw the film.
Yeah.
As soon as I watched the film, you can have a scout team. I don't care, but you can't replicate Brandon Meebane. You can't replicate Red Bryant. You can't replicate them dogs coming off the edge.
Right.
You can't replicate our offense beast mode running the ball. You just can't do that at practice.
Yeah.
So I knew as soon as I watched the film, man, they really didn't stand
a chance. In the week leading up to the game, because we each had a couple guys embedded with your team and.
Mark was embedded with your team, by the way. Well, very familiar face because you
I'm
guys
sure,
got played.
I'm sure. You know, it feels like you've seen an old stranger. But
it's like a bond in this room that I don't feel like I'm a part of. But the rest of the guys in here,
I remember asking you, Michael, to pick out someone on the roster who was a behind-the-scenes leader. And this is because a couple of people had mentioned your name. And all three of you guys got mentioned when we did this exercise. But Red Bryant got named over and over and over. Yeah.
Room full of
how did you got? What is it like behind the scenes leading up to the Super Bowl? How do you as leaders get the team galvanized and ready for what was ahead on that Sunday?
How did you do it, Rich?
Hey, yeah, Big Red.
They put me on the spot right now, but man, it's easy. It really is because you know, when I came in the league in 08, my father-in-law was a Seahawk great, and they wanted me to wear his jersey, but I was kind of skeptical because he had such a great career, and me and him, we two different players in terms of our style. And so, long story short, I ended up getting that number, and it's a lot of responsibility to come with it. You know, me being his son-in-law, me married to his oldest daughter, and the city of Seattle, they love him. You know, he's a living legend. And so I had all of that, and my career didn't start off as fast as I would have liked. I dealt with injuries my first year. Coach Hongam, he retired. My second year, we had Jim Moore and Mr. Tyler Wicky felt like the organization needed to go in a different direction, so we had Coach Carroll come in. But one of the cousins I had is Brandon Meebane. You know, he's solid as a rock. I tell him all the time, he came in as a anybody that's watched this tape know he's outperformed the third-round draft status he has. He's been a phenomenal pro.
Outperformed his contract, too. I'm just saying.
No,
We'll get to that a little later.
I definitely believe he's the blueprint in terms of what teams are looking for at that nose tackle position because of the way he plays it. And I know we're in the Pacific Northwest, and we don't get a lot of national news until now. But he's been doing it for 7 years, and he used to take time to keep me encouraged as I was trying to figure out what type of player that I eventually became. And when you got guys like that, and you got guys like Mike Robb, not just because he's sitting there, I tell Mike Robb I've been able to be a better husband, a better father, a better pro from being around him. Mm-hmm. You know, when you got
you guys
those,
like each other.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah. That's why we won.
That's championship team.
You got them experiences, man. Yeah. It's like, you know, it could have been anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We believe that, and especially in today's league where ego and making money and all those things are so important for us to keep that Pop Warner thread that's keeping us together. And, you know, I believe that's a big reason as to why we've been able to have success. And it's enough success to go around. It's
right.
So
very
many
cool.
People.
Right. So, guys, I know – You are visiting our podcast. You've kind of taken it over. This is your room on a level. Mark and I are uncomfortable. Wes and Greg behind the glass. Everything got threatening right now. But in seriousness, what we do at the beginning of our podcast, we like to go through the headlines of what's going on in the league right now. Would you guys mind sitting in for the headlines?
Sure. Yeah. Can we comment as you
please
talk
do.
About
that? That's okay, cool. What I'm thinking. Yeah. I think we can really get this going. The gold standard behind the glass. Let's do some headlines. All right, we'll start with Richie Incognito. I don't know, you guys have been busy at the NFL Network studios today, but he...
Heard of this guy?
Yeah. Yeah. He needs to shut up right now. Hey, dude, you're in a good position, dude. Just be quiet, man, okay? Just
he's gone off on Twitter, including one tweet that reads, "The truth is regarding Jonathan Martin, his estranged teammate. The truth is going to bury you and your entire camp." Obviously, you have that independent report by Ted Wells that should be coming out any time now. Friday we're hearing maybe before then, but where do you guys stand on this, the whole situation, and now Incognito apparently just he doesn't care if this isn't out yet, he's going to talk about it.
Yeah. I don't want to interrupt anybody, man, but I just think it's a case where I just don't think it's bullying. You know, I think it originally started off as them accusing Richie of being a bully. You know, in the National Football League on teams, you're going to have a variety of guys. I mean, I've had the Incognitos on my teams. Mm-hmm. I've had the guys that you would consider, you know, softer. You know what I mean? You've seen those guys, and you've seen the banter going back and forth. I just think that you cannot treat a locker room, an NFL locker room, like a regular workplace.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know,
yeah.
we don't work a regular 9-to-5. We don't have cubicles. We don't, you know, it's not like that. We actually shower around each other and be around each other all the time. You know, it's
Mark
it's
and I do that too. But.
Oh, y'all do. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know.
Okay. Different scenario.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I guess, you know what I mean. It's just a different workplace, and you just can't. I think when all of this became made public, I think people started, you know, looking at it as like an office, and you can't apply the same rules to it.
Mike Rob. I can call you Mike Rob from back
then,
right?
Yeah, what's going on?
It's Greg behind the glass.
I just wanted to jump in.
That was pretty weird, though, because I thought the voice came from over
right,
here.
No, yeah, it's ethereal from a distance.
I'm like, what?
You said you've played with Incognitos. Who are the Incognitos on your team? What does that even mean?
Okay, yeah. I've played with
Brandon
some...
Brandon knows.
Yeah, I've played with some guys. I see my teammates laughing over here. But
they know.
I've played with some guys who like to joke around a lot, and they really take joking to the greatest extent. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's all in fun light. You know, really, you're really not trying to, hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that. It's just all in fun. With all the monotony of football, we have the same schedules every single day.
Right.
You need the lightheartedness. You need the joking.
Right.
That's what makes it fun to go to work.
Right.
So is the issue, I mean, Jonathan Martin, a guy that maybe you have to have a thick skin. You've got to maybe make fun of yourself before someone else does if you feel like you've got a weakness that's out there. Is he a guy that maybe needed to be corrected because he doesn't have that thick skin? He's not really, you know, functional in an NFL locker room?
Well, I mean, I don't know the entire story. You know, it's obviously when the report comes out, we'll hear even more. But from what I have read in the media, I mean, him and Richie went back and forth with this thing. It wasn't just a one-sided thing. And
no.
I think just the fact that he left the team, you know, naturally gives a little bit more sympathy to him. But if you've been in a National Football League locker room, I think most guys understand. What y'all think, man?
Man, I think excuse me. I ain't talked to the world, man. Yeah. I took over the man.
Go ahead. It's
about that action, boss.
Man.
You know what I mean?
I think, man, the NFL locker room, a lot of people don't know, is like the NFL locker room is not really reality. It's like Mike Rob was saying, you know, we have the same schedule, you know, for 3-4 days straight, and you have to find some type of, like, laughter or, you know, this is like another way we get to know each other. You know, we'll joke on each other, but we don't take it too far. It's like we'll joke on your kids, your wife, your parents and stuff like that. We'll joke on each other on how you dressed and, you know, nothing too harsh, nothing too serious. It just, you know, just bring camaraderie together. But a lot of guys, you know, just, you know, take it, you know, just take things, you know, the wrong way. A lot of guys is, you know, don't like to be joked on. You know, growing up though, if you got joked on a lot, either you go keep your joke thought, or you have to learn how to throw jokes back. So I don't know. It's just, you know, different strokes, different folks.
All right. Next up on the headlines, the Cleveland Browns have cleaned house again. CEO Joe Banner out, GM Mike Lombardi out. Ray Farmer is the new GM. They got a new coach there. There's a lot of turnover. I mean, you guys are blessed enough to be playing with an organization where it's been, you know, stable. I mean, what if you're a player on that team, what are you thinking right now? And I'll start with Red.
If I was a player on that team, you'd probably be kind of confused right now because you don't really know what direction the organization going in. And, as a player, you know, we all understand how short, you know, our careers are. And when you got constant change and constant turnover, you know, the new GM might feel a totally different way than the old GM. Right. Or the new coach might look at personnel totally different. And so it kind of puts you in a limbo for as a player. You know, they got a Cleveland. We played Cleveland. And they beat us.
A couple years ago.
It was lowest scoring games ever.
Yeah, 3-6. Yeah, 3-6. Man, Marshawn got back spasms pregame. He didn't play. Yeah. Leon got a punt.
Well, that wasn't the Seahawks in their full vision, if I remember that game.
Not at that time. That was Charlie Whitehurst.
What that, 2011?
2011.
So you, Mark, is a big Browns,
but they got
fan.
Talent over there, though. That's the point I was making. Like they got talent over there. You know, they got Pro Bowlers with Joe Thomas and your boy Alex Mack. Yeah.
Alex Mack. Yeah. He's trying to get up out of there, though. What? I just saw a report. He's trying to leave. He's gonna hit the free agency. I mean, and what about Brandon Reed? He's trying to get up out of there too.
Yeah, Brandon Reed.
That's the quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh man, didn't he just get drafted?
Yeah.
Would you guys be checking in with your agent after this amount of overturn and be like, you know, I got to get out of here, too?
I don't know if I say I got to get out of here, but you would definitely be concerned.
Yeah, you definitely got to ask your agent if he can get any information to kind of see where they're going to go.
If you're a player, do you maybe cut some time out of your day to go cozy up to your GM just to make sure you're in a good place with him?
No, I don't think guys.
You don't need to do that?
Go to Starbucks together? What do you mean?
I don't know.
Because look, at the end of the day.
Guys all the time.
At the end of the day, that same GM is going to cut you at some point. Yeah. We're all going to get that call.
That's reality.
I don't like to get too close.
I hear you.
With that's execs. Reality.
And that's a great segue. By the way, sad Browns fan, Mark Sessler, right here.
Man.
Did it come across that he was burying the pain? That's what
No, listen. You just have to go numb to all things.
And speaking of business, Michael Bennett, your teammate with the Seahawks,
paid a man,
asked about
Mike Bennett,
was
paid
asked,
a man.
As you would think, he's getting asked a lot about his contract situation and would he take a hometown discount. His quote, this isn't Costco.
Oh, man.
That's just Mike, too. That's just man. Mike
Bennett got three daughters. Mike Bennett in a heartbeat. I got three weddings I got to make up.
What'd he say? I'm trying to shop at Whole Foods.
He's trying to shop at Whole Foods.
And that kind of plays into how hard it will be. You guys obviously have a great team, great nucleus coming up a Super Bowl win, a great player like Bennett. Free agency is a major factor in keeping a team together. Business, it's not just about the skill level, it's about keeping those guys together, right?
One thing I think Pete and John do a great job of, I think they understand this era of free agency and understand that you have to create an environment. It's almost, if you go to our facility, come on, man. Y'all know just the way it is. Yeah. It's first class, man. Yeah. It's almost like they're recruiting guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
right on the water.
Seriously. It's
and
beautiful.
Not Lake Erie.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's almost like they create an environment that you want to come to work to every day.
Yeah.
So if there's a money decision that has to be made, you know, sometimes a guy may go that route with the Seahawks because of the environment.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go back to New Jack City.
Yeah.
This bigger than Nino Brown.
Yeah.
It's big business. Yeah. Friends is friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Jack City reference. Did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Right?
No, we definitely. I feel like Mike Bennett, he's earned it, man. Coming out of A&M, you know, me and Mike Bennett, we know we've been knowing each other about 10 years. And I'm actually going to Hawaii next Wednesday.
Oh, you going out there too?
I'm so jealous.
What are you guys doing in Hawaii?
Don't
this sounds fun.
Yeah,
we got both our families together.
Oh, nice.
He got Peyton, Blake, and Ollie. They're my three nieces and his wife and my wife. They'll be over there, and I got two kids. And so we just going
to
go.
Don't forget to holler at Max Unger, man. What, you know, about, he got acres over there.
Yeah,
big acres over there.
That's what Max told me, though, but he didn't give me a dog, number, man? Though.
Huh? He didn't give me a number. They going to leave your dog in the Seattle.
Hey, you got your bundle joint coming,
yeah,
dog.
Oh, man.
You know, you got your bundle.
I'm trying to get a tan,
get out there, man.
I can't, man. You know, mama can't really.
It doesn't sound like we're invited to this getaway.
Well, I was just holding out and hoping that maybe it would come later. I didn't want to, like, say it.
No, we're not going.
We're free. Actually, Greg, we're not free, are we? Greg is our boss.
We're going to Indianapolis. Combine.
Oh, y'all going to have a great time.
Y'all going to have a great time. So why don't we weigh what's better, Indy in February or Hawaii? I think we win.
No. Yeah,
you guys win.
In Indy, y'all go see our future replacement.
Uh-huh. Y'all coming in to take jobs.
Yeah. Who the next guy is?
And you were saying that downstairs, Mike. Just how kind of is it strange the way the cycle of the NFL works, that you go from competing with guys and then you're boys with them during the season, and the season ends and it's business, and all
it's
of a sudden
business.
Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, man, we talk about it all the time. You go from training camp where you're competing with guys for a spot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're literally, the guy next to you is trying to take your job.
Right.
And then you go into the season, and now we're a band of brothers, and we're getting together for this championship season. You're giving the team all, you know, giving the team and organization everything.
Yeah.
And then after the season, it's business.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you know, you want to return, you know, you want the loyalty returned to you. And I always say it all the time, you know, if a player thinks that there's loyalty in this game, shame on him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, the team is going to make the decisions they have to make from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I say it. You really don't want to get too buddy-buddy with execs, because they have to make the decisions. You know what I mean? They're going to have to make the decisions. What you guys think about it? Man, I'm doing all the talking, man.
I'm going to go back again. I'm going to hit that line again.
New Jack City.
Hit it again.
Go ahead, bang.
It's bigger than Nino Brown. It's big business, man.
But I tell you what's so dynamic about our locker room. If a guy is willing to listen, he understands that that's why it's so important to get an identity away from just football. You know, football is so mundane. It's so from Pop Warner until, if you're fortunate enough to make it to the league, you've been pampered, you know. And then we get out here in the real world with real issues, and it's just hard for us to communicate and things. It's even hard for us to just have a conversation with somebody else, because a lot of times, a lot of people don't think the way we think. But we have to realize our experiences was allowing us to have these thoughts and talk and communicate that way. And so we have to just find different avenues in terms of being passionate about whatever it is our next journey going to be.
Right.
And we don't never think it's going to end, you know, but it's going to end, you know what I mean? And so what's your next move? Are you just a football player? Are you more than a football player? And so we all got to answer that question.
I guess it would be a missed opportunity, I feel like, having guys in an NFL locker room and not asking about Michael Sam. And I know you guys have – this is going to be a major issue all through the summer that people talk about. But I'm just curious what your take on is on the challenges he's facing. I mean, is this going to be tough for him, or is it something that it's a little overblown and he'll assimilate quickly? Where do you guys stand on this?
I think it's going to be very, very tough for him.
Yeah.
Think he's gonna not only that, you know, he's open and openly gay, but he's also a rookie. So rookies get, you know, they get it tough anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, it's just a team has to deal with so many things. You know what I mean? From you know how guys talk in the locker room.
I know how I talk.
I think exactly. Another thing too is you know, him being a rookie, you know, aside his private life is. Hopefully, you have an older guy in his group that can teach him how to be professional, and you know, teach him how to, you know, what to do, prepare for a game, and you know, how to break down film and what to look for and things like that. So you know, he has those things he got to deal with, and then he gonna have to deal with you know, things that off the field issues, or you know, the media
but,
is going
to But my question to you is it going to even be hard for him to even get that bond with an older guy? It's just because, you know, perception – in our line of business, perception is reality. If a guy sees you hanging with a guy like that, I mean, I don't know how – you just don't know.
Man.
It's different. I feel like this is a big –
it's
a game changer.
It's hard, man.
I feel like – and the way society moving, you know, me being from Texas, the Bible Belt, and my upbringing and things of that nature, getting to the point where you can actually respect other people's differences,
right.
Respect other people, you know, train the thought in terms of how they feel and how they go about their business. I just feel like when you get diving in a person's private life, that's to me, it's like you crossing the line. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just, for as a pure football player, what I've been able to see from the clips and things of that nature,
he can play
football.
He can play football.
And I feel like at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Right.
You know, now if he was a politician or in public life where tax bills, you know, paying his salary,
a rapper,
I understand
artist,
that because that's that world.
Yeah.
But as an athlete, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like your validation comes from what you do on that football field.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right.
And in terms of how you give back to your community or how you want to be looked at, to each is his own.
Right.
And I just, you know, when it comes to your sexuality and things, when you come to that locker room, I don't feel comfortable talking about somebody else's personal life or even pushing my beliefs on their personal life. But when a person asking you a question, you never know. You know, if you ain't – I'm 29.
Yeah.
At 22 – I couldn't have made no rational thought or thought it out or really been able to the way I process things now, I didn't process that at 21, 22. And this is what we dealing with, you know what I mean? Like I'm glad his teammate Sheldon Richardson, who's a young and a prime defensive lineman in his league, said what he had to say. But everybody not going to be like Sheldon Richardson.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. Everybody's not going to be supportive of it.
Right.
And my point is you can't persecute those people who just don't agree with the lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just like he has an opinion to be along that lifestyle, other people have an opinion to not agree with it. Not saying that they're going to do anything or whatever, but just a difference of agreement. And I just think that in today's world, if you don't believe that or you don't agree with that lifestyle, you're almost looked at as the villain
right.
in the public
right.
light.
Right.
When it's
right.
just like, I'm not saying have hate crimes against her or anything,
no,
but it's
no.
just I just don't agree with it.
Right. It's not something that you can just say all of society suddenly feels one way about this. It's not
yeah,
the case.
Exactly.
But, you know, spending a week reporting on you guys during the Super
when
Bowl.
When you guys all became friends.
When we were, yeah, a lot of time off the field together. Very valuable time. But I took away from the Seahawks that you guys really, like you said, you're friends. You're unified. And there's other teams in various amounts of chaos during the year. You don't get that sense. Would the Seahawks... Do you look at your own locker room and say, we'd be all right with Michael Sam coming to our team?
I mean, I answer that. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't think nobody really be like, you know, I don't like him or I hate him just in the open. But it'll be hard to just automatically be like, oh, hey, come on, you just hang with us and things like that. You know, you want to, you know, understand and know the person before – you know, you develop a relationship. Sometimes it takes a while to develop relationships with guys on the team, you know, because a lot of guys in the locker room think different already. And so, you know, it's a lot of guys in the locker room that just different, you know, and they just think different. And, you know, that's okay. You know, everybody has their own right to think the way they even think. But I think in this situation, a lot of guys is going to be like, I don't know, man, because – I don't want to be caught, you know, on Instagram or Twitter,
right.
being seen with them
yeah.
and on public. And, you know, people be like, oh, yeah, then you must be like that too. And, you know, a lot of guys don't really want that, you know, that stigma. You know,
I can give you an example, like Cliff Avril.
Yeah.
He came from Detroit, and he used to, by us being able, over time, being able to build a relationship, he was telling us how different our D-line room is
right.
compared to days. like we full of jokes. We bagging on each other, like we dogging each other out, man. And so if Mike Cassell was on our team, like I got a rose sense of humor, but I think I would be cautious. Like I don't know if I. The reason we got a bonding thing because they really get to see how authentic I am as a person.
Right.
I don't know if I could be fully authentic because I'd be nervous if I'll say something to offend him or if I say something to whereas like with Cliff and Mike Bennett and Clint McDonough and Tony Mack. There's no whole bars. Yeah, you know, like some of the things we say, and if that got out there, you know, I'd probably be perceived different than what I'm perceived.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and I understand that. And so if he was on my team, I'm going to respect him as my teammate. I'm going to play. I'm going to go to war with him. But I couldn't sit here and tell you that I would say what I say to Clem.
Right.
Like
right.
I say something to Clem. Yeah. Like, did he really just say that? I don't know if I'd say that to him, you know?
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, I'm being told that you have to exit, which is sad because I feel like there's a bond developing. Now I feel like I'm part of it, too.
It got colder in here, too.
Yeah, it did. That actually kicked in at the end.
Brandon Mebane, Red Bryant, Michael Robinson, the Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks, the Stitcher award-winning ATL podcast, Together as One. Thanks a lot, guys, for coming on.
Hey, I got an album coming out soon.
You do?
Get that album.
All right.
That's called Belly Roll.
I feel like a rapper.
It's called Belly Roll, man.
Nah, man. I'm gonna name it something
Shout
else.
Out Jasper, Texas, baby. Jasper, Texas, y'all listening.
Aren't you listening party on this podcast.
Yeah. Aren't you happy that we haven't asked you to dance? It's probably the first question.
No,
I'm telling you, it's coming up on Total Access.
I'm not surprised at the production meeting, okay?
I don't think I can do that, man. They can play the tape all day.
Oh, they're going to get you ready, man.
Oh, man.
They got a jersey they want you to put on and everything.
Oh, come on, man.
They yearning for their damn, boy.
Oh,
this
man.
Is your safe space. If you get in trouble, run up to the podcast studio.
Mama said I can't dance on TV.
Hey, mama, let him do it. Let him do it one time. One more. One last time.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, out go the Seahawks and into Studio 66. Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal. Greg actually sitting in Red Bryant's chair. My perspective is totally different than it was about 30 seconds ago.
Big shoes to fill, literally and figuratively.
And clothes and everything in general.
There was a lot I loved about watching that, but Brandon Mebane battling this chair for 30 minutes was one of them. It is way down to the ground now. He was trying to get comfortable. He's trying to make it work. And
he put a swim move on the chair.
He was moving the entire time.
Red Bryant, that guy has some insight, doesn't he?
I think when we go back and listen to the podcast, we're going to find out that he was the most interesting one of the trio. You know, he kind of has that Texas drawl. It might be a little tougher to understand him, but I thought he was extremely insightful.
I thought they were very honest. I mean, they didn't shy away from any question. They kind of gave us a look that we couldn't formulate on our own.
No, I would say you're probably accurate about that, Mark.
You're saying they have a better perspective on the NFL locker room
it
dynamics
is shocking.
Than you two?
It is
I don't buy that. That's crazy.
Well, wait,
I didn't
heard,
say that. That know, was Mark.
I think that's fact, and I just present facts.
Next thing you know, you're going to tell us you have to be a quarterback to pile up passing statistics.
I like how Mike Robb, I'm calling him that now, too. He just
Not
kinda,
real Robb? Mike Robb?
He just, well, that's what they were calling him was Mike Robb. Oh. So we're in. Now that's what the
now you have to
say.
Call. Now you have to call me Bane. Bane.
Bane.
Bane.
I like that he just took control, Robinson. Yeah. You know, he was just directing questions. He's directing the flow.
Sometimes you just got to let go and let it happen. You know. All right. What do we want to talk about before we go?
I want to talk about Mark's Browns. I want to hear. Actually, I want to hear Mark talk about Mark's Browns because we haven't had a podcast since Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi left the scene.
I will say, before we give the floor to Mark, it was kind of interesting after some reports came out late Tuesday. What did we learn late Tuesday? We learned that Whedon wanted out.
We learned a lot of, you know, information about which coaches they talked to.
And Mark Sessler took to Twitter and was tweeting like a maniac. I was picturing him in front of his computer at home.
Really?
Just, you know, trying to process this information, get it out to the people. Now, Mark, we will give you even a bigger
platform.
I was
watching Total Access for like 3 minutes and sent like three tweets out.
Furiously typing Mark's name into Twitter.
And you had a mania?
I'm going to go find out what you tweeted. I missed this.
I missed it, too.
I tweeted out what Michael Silver reported.
He was sending
basically
the information out to the people, and I was just imagining Mark at his computer at home, his children tugging at his pants.
Dan's, like baffled by anyone that isn't, like, home watching vampire movies whenever he's not in the office. Like, I happen to be.
Vampire movies.
I don't know. Whatever.
It is a story that won't end, though. Not only did the CEO of the team get canned. Well, he's going to be there for a couple more months, but basically he got fired. And Michael Lombardi, the GM, got fired. But then we find out Whedon wants out, and they talked to Bill Parcells, and they promoted Farmer, of course. And
Peyton Manning somehow potentially involved?
Someone thinks that Peyton Manning could be a CEO. Their rift between Banner and Haslam was partly about Banner's football acumen, because Banner didn't want them interviewing Schiano, and they did. It just...
Wizenhunt was insulted by Banner during the interview.
By the way, we still haven't given Mark the floor, but I want to say that in real time, Greg on his phone tried to search for Mark Sessler NFL, and he tweeted Mark Sessler NFL.
Oh no!
I like it. Like, just get the name out people any way you can. I like that.
That is a dad move.
Such a dad move.
Someone favorited it. Oh, David
was it
Ely.
Mark?
Not me. I have no phone on my hands.
I will favorite
just,
as well. All right.
I just trashed it.
Sessler, the floor is yours.
You listen. I mean, I think number one, any one of us has the equal amount of opinion on this matter, and they're all I think the thing that's hard as someone that grew up watching the Browns is they have become now this, in some cases without critical thought, just like a lightning rod for whatever they do. They are a complete train wreck, and it reminds me of Dan rooting for the Jets for a certain period when whatever the Jets did, they were immediately associated with being an absolute festival of bad decisions and madness.
You're referring to the 2011 season finale for the Jets, starting with the meltdown in Miami that went through Mark Sanchez blowing out a shoulder in the preseason. That window of Jets history, total circus. We have now thrown the circus to Cleveland.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not that it's... listen, when you look at the scope of Haslam swinging the axe to and fro, firing people at a mad pace, it's like, from the outside, I think it looks insane to a lot of people. But
sure it does from the inside even more.
Here's my concern is when everyone says Michael Lombardi is completely unfit to be a general manager, and Banner is a total, you know, black mark on the organization. No one wants to work with either one of these two. Haslam probably should never have hired them to begin with, but comes to the conclusion after a coaching search in which Banner behaves like a very bad boy, we hear over and over, right? Disenfranchising and embarrassing the owner in front of potential candidates. That's why the decision didn't happen the day they fired Rob Jasinski. Why didn't they fire Banner and Lombardi the minute they fired Jasinski? Well, because over this process, I think that Haslam, for better or worse, decided I can't work with these guys, but also the feedback I'm getting about my own tangled front office is that we don't want to do deals with them. We would if you got rid of them. And they're the problem in your organization. You have a lot of talent, but these guys are getting in the way of attracting talent from the front office, coaching angle, everything. So my ultimate feeling is that, you know, listen, Lombardi used to work here. I don't know him personally, but no hard feelings to him.
You do know him personally.
I don't know him personally. No, not at all. But I have no issue with Cleveland getting rid of two guys that have been widely considered to be cancerous and a problem in the organization. The issue is, is Farmer qualified? We don't know, but I like the organizational structure a lot better than I did 24 hours ago.
By the way,
you can't like the fact that the GM did not pick the coach.
I don't love it, but at this point, you're not going to get a situation that you love if you're a Browns fan. And I think if you polled most anyone rooting for that team, undeniably, overwhelmingly, they're satisfied with these two men being rooted out of the organization.
I agree with all that, but it's a complete failure in management by Haslam to fire them now versus 3 months ago. You can't say it doesn't matter that
he didn't feel that way about them three months ago.
That's great, but that's his failure.
All right, exactly. That's fine, but you do understand that maybe what he learned since 3 months ago is what forced him to come to this decision. Right?
You wish he would make those decisions on his own, though. That is not coming from outside sources. That he was able to assess the situation. He's been working with Banner for 16 months. No matter, I totally agree with you. Getting rid of them is probably a positive, but there's nothing... But looking at it as a failure.
What would be positive about keeping Lombardi and Banner in your eyes? What would be
no,
a positive?
No, that wouldn't be.
So it's not probably a positive. It is a positive that he got rid of them.
Woofah!
Well, no, because this is, I hear all this, like, suddenly Haslam is a clown for getting rid of a guy that no one respects.
He's had the worst 18 months you could possibly have. The men he chose all have been fired. They've all been terrible decisions. He's changed his mind every time. Every time he has a press conference, he sounds like a used car salesman out there trying to sell something us on how great Joe Banner was and how he changed the organization. And each time, I kind of buy it for a second. It works. And I agree this decision in a vacuum is good.
By the way, you're leaving out one aspect of the 18 months too, that he's being indicted for major fraud allegations.
That is a minor footnote.
That is, you know, the elephant in the room. But that, to me, that's not part of the decision.
Let me ask you a question, Greg. Would you rather, when you look at a president of a company, a country, a team, would you rather a guy that says, look, I'm new at this job, I effed this up,
yeah,
and I'm going to make a change, or I'm going to sit on this for 3 years so I don't look like I'm making, I'm just going to be consistent, but I'm going to sit with the wrong guys for another 3 years.
I would rather he get rid of Banner and Lombardi. The problem is the process to get to that decision, and every other decision he's made does not give any confidence that he's making good decisions.
Fair, and what NFL firing is clean?
This is worse than most of them.
All right, but honestly, whenever you talk about high-powered guys parting ways, is it ever clean? Does anyone ever come out looking good?
It could have been done better and less clunky. I mean,
I guess
I
know I sound defensive, but part of the situation
yes,
is that
it's insane to fire.
I hear,
it is insane to fire the GM and the CEO that just hired your coach. That is insane. That could be.
But what?
That is worse than others.
It's insane in the vacuum of information where you don't know what it is he knows or
and
what
then
he witnessed.
But then there's also the report: the new GM, Ray Farmer. The new coach you just hired, he wasn't one of his top choices within the organization. And that's weird because now you're going off on a new voyage.
Well, that's
got to
play
and
out.
And that's
debate.
That's got to play out.
Not only was he not involved in the coaching interview, they gave him a 4-year contract. And I think if you asked a 20-year-old Dan Hansis, Mark Sessler, and Greg Rosenthal, would you be surprised at your current age how many people in all walks of life get promoted simply because there's a vacuum and not because they deserve it? That's one of the lessons I've learned over the last 10 years.
You think that the Browns don't think he deserved it? That's
I think if they thought he deserved it.
Do you think or do you know that? You think that the Browns don't think that he deserved to be promoted?
I think if they thought he deserved it, he'd have had the job already.
Yeah, they would have done it.
But that's
in
exactly what they hired him before.
They would have done McGlewin. They wanted to pair Gase and McGlewin was the report. So that's a completely different thing. They were going after McDaniels. If they got McDaniels, I think everyone is still there right now. So knowing all of that information, it's hard to put much faith into the process that gets here. It reminds me a lot of the Dolphins
and
situation.
I guess my only sticking point, I don't have a problem with that, it's just that when we're shredding Cleveland for firing a guy or two guys that we've lambasted all year long as incompetent, there's a divide there. They came way well after the fact or never should have hired him to begin with. He came to the right decision, in my mind, as someone that's followed this team, that over and over what I heard in back channels and right out front was that Banner and Lombardi were a reason people didn't want to do business with Cleveland, players didn't respect these guys, and employees in the building had issues with
them. The move made sense, the timing didn't. That's, to me, what it came down to.
The only timing that would make sense to you guys, though, would be that they never were hired to begin with.
No. If they had done it after a season, that would have been great.
Fire Chud, clean the house.
So it happened 30 days later.
He had a completely different plan 2 weeks ago than he had 3 weeks ago than he had a month ago than he had 6 weeks ago. So that alone and everything that's happened since he came to taking over the team does not inspire confidence. And he even said it. Look, it's been a bumpy road. You have a lot to learn as a new NFL owner. Robert Kraft has said the same thing. And I think it could work out because their roster's good, and I like Pettin. It all could work out fine. It's just there's no way to spin this as they've been well run.
I don't think it's well run. I feel at some point that it's like all I hear, and it's from where we work, is they're just getting lashed left and right and –
Well, you yourself called them a constantly churning clown
car. I actually
car.
Did not, Chris. If you look at the article, I said that Haslam realizes they're perceived that way. I didn't call them that. If you read,
what do you think? It's fair to call them that?
I don't think it is fair to call them that if they've fired two people that needed to be gone and hired what I think in Petten is a good coach.
You know, the Seahawks were in here and they were just, what a team, and they all loved each other. Now the ATL team comes in and there's a lot of heat. I don't like it. I just want to say it. Mark, you did tweet 8 times in that hour.
We need we need an acronym to sum this up, you know, since this is what Ray Farmer does. Acronyms, maybe we can graduate to puns next year. This will be fun.
Yeah. All right, so that's good.
And Mark is going to kill us all after this podcast.
The good
I'm
thing,
afraid.
Though, is Mark could be vindicated if the Browns a year from now are better off than they were now.
They will be.
That means it
How
was the right move.
They wow. will be.
How could
we
they be worse?
That every year.
I don't
say that every year.
I don't think it was the wrong move at all. I don't think anyone thinks that that Banner and Lombardi were leading them to titles.
All I hear is that they've done nothing but make the wrong move over and over.
The last 3 months have been embarrassing for Haslam. I think he would admit that.
Still got
I would
great.
Say I would agree with that.
Right.
So he made the right move in the end, or did he not?
Not.
I don't
no,
think anybody disagrees with it. I don't think a single person on the planet disagrees with it.
Right.
Then why are they being flamed horrendously?
Because of how he handled it the whole way. It was ham-fisted, wrong-handed the whole way.
Well, I think he's finding that job's harder than it appears from the outside to just critique from the outside.
Bumpy times for the Silver Fox. All right, gentlemen, we will be back on Friday. We will be playing Win West's Toaster, the gold standard behind the glass. I understand you have some people lined up. We're going to do a little more screening because we want... You know, there's a lot of pride on Wes's side right now. I feel like he's never been on a higher plane of confidence, which I love, but maybe he's a little too confident, overconfident perhaps.
We'll see. I mean, we do have a lot of very worthy candidates. I'm putting them all in the Elimination Chamber tonight. And
it sounds weird.
Pay-per-view. No, you should catch it.
The gold standard is the Ken Jennings of football lined up it just to take me down.
It doesn't sound like if you go into the Elimination Chamber that you ever come out if you lose.
Yeah, no.
Are you a murderer?
You're giving my secrets right now.
All right, guys. All right, we're going to talk this out after the podcast. We will be back Friday. Thanks again to the Seahawks stars that stopped by, Brandon Mebane, Red Bryant, Michael Robinson. Signing off, this is Dan Hansis for the Sizzler, the Mailman, the Boss, the Gold Standard. Until Friday. If they just gave it a chance.